Let's go straight into scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thee. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Father, tonight we ask for your blessing upon your word. We ask that not one person will leave here the same way they have come. Father, give us light, insight, revelation that will change lives. Both those who are here in person and those who are watching online, give us a turnaround. Blessed be your name, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. I'm speaking very quickly on the subject, divine opportunities for wealth control. Divine opportunities for wealth control. Having gone through scriptures and also having a background of wealth, I'll be speaking to you from my heart today, because 2 + 2 = 4 anywhere in the world. Our objective tonight is to understand the opportunities that exist to access kingdom wealth. The opportunities that exist to access kingdom wealth. And number 2, understanding the secrets of maximizing those opportunities. By way of introduction, I want to say 3 things. Number 1, God owns the whole of the universe. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 and in verse 1. God owns the whole of the universe. Psalm 24 and in verse 1. And Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. God owns the whole universe. Number 2. God creates and empowers opportunities for wealth control for his people. He creates it. He empowers the opportunities for wealth control for his people. Some of the opportunities are natural, and some of the opportunities can be called channels, but all the same, they are opportunities for wealth control for God's people. What opportunities are those? Number 1 is the work of the hands. The work of the hands. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8. He said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon all that thou settest thine hand to. The work of the hands. What you do with your life. Like the sister who just testified. She took $100,000 to go and start selling okrika. And that turned into millions. The work of the hands. Number 2, divine wisdom. Divine wisdom, strategic ideas. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, we saw how the whole earth came to seek Solomon. And he exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And they came to seek him in verse 24. Deuteronomy, Ezekiel chapter 28. And in verse 4 to verse 5. Ezekiel 28, verse 4 to verse 5. He said, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasure. That is God causing wealth to come into the hand of somebody because of wisdom, because of inspiration, divine idea, something that he suddenly chanced upon. So the work of hands, divine wisdom. Number three, inherent potential. The potential you carry. You say the man's gift maketh room for him. I think that is Proverbs 18:16 thereabout. And bringeth him before greatness. A man's gift maketh room for him. And takes him to greatness. What you know how to do. That gift. That potential. That talent. There are billionaires today who are music billionaires, movie stars. What you know to do. That is number three. Is that number three? Inherent potential. Number four, seasons of distress. Seasons of distress becomes opportunities for wealth control. I have discovered that there can be wealth out of war. Abraham was in the season of war. In Genesis chapter 14, when he got from verse 14, he got his hired servant and pursued the army of four nations that kidnapped his brother Lot. By the time you return in verse 16 thereabout, Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And he brought back all the goods and brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women and also and all the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveth, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, bless the Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he gave him the tithes of all. Tithes of all the spoil of war. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 24, you will also see a situation where, alright, let's start from verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Now look at this. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude. And behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. But look at this. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them, that is dead bodies, in abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. How can you come into war, into battle, and live with wealth? That is God's strategy. There are times the precious comes out of the pressure. All you need to do is to look around. What am I seeing out of here? The precious coming out of the pressure. The provision coming out of the confrontation. Very, very important. There are some things that the devil organized to come and destroy you, that God is organizing to use to distinguish you. Every adversity has a seed of advantage. That there is advantage in adversity. There is advancement from adversity. Many times we look so much at what is wrong that we are unable to see what God is trying to get out of the situation. The oil that could not stop flowing for the prophet's widow, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4, all the way to verse 7 actually. That oil that could not stop flowing came in the moment of adversity. When her two sons came to become bondmen because their father was in debt. And the woman was down to nothing. And she ran to the prophet. And Elisha said, "What do you have?" And she said, "I have nothing." And Elisha said, "You have nothing?" He said, "Just a bottle of oil." He said, "What you are calling nothing is your salvation. It is in times of need that God shows you what you have. What you have that you have not seen. What you have that you have not identified. What is profitable that you have taken for granted." So all that we need to do is to look. What are you showing me? I told you stories before of how two men went to India. One of them saw how poor the Indians were. That was in the 60s. And the other one saw the opportunities of the Indians because all of them were walking barefoot in India. That other second person decided that this disadvantage here has an advantage. He decided to help the Indians make footwears, plastic footwears, rubber footwears, to help them so they can walk. So they will not be barefoot. In trying to help them, he ended with millions. It was affordable for the Indians. But it took him to another level. Am I communicating at all? The Ford motor vehicle, Henry Ford, the first one. That was what happened. Nobody could buy vehicles because it was manufactured one per time. If you wanted to buy a vehicle, you had to go and they take your order. And it will take like 3, 4, 5, 6 months to prepare it and give to you. So he said no. And it was very costly. Only the rich could afford it. So he decided, out of this need I can see, there is something I can do. So he invented the assembly line process, where you can make 10 vehicles at once, 20 at once, 100 at once. The price came down. Everybody afforded vehicles. He became a millionaire on the spot. Am I communicating at all? I am announcing to somebody here today, every need around your life and in our nation today is going to give you a revelation that will turn you into a generational wonder. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. Every need in your own life that the devil is trying to use to destroy your life, God will show you a way out of that need. Open your eyes to see your future. Somebody say a loud amen. So please take your seat. So God will use the avenues of the work of your hands, divine wisdom, the avenues of personal distress or potential, and then the times of distress. And number 5 is divine favor. Divine favor, favor with individuals, and favor with systems. Favor with individuals, favor with systems. That is, God just links you up with the system that has the resources. Genesis chapter 39 verse 2 and 39 verse 21. And God brought Joseph into favor with Potiphar. And he brought Joseph into favor with the butler, the prison, the captain of the host. Esther chapter 2 verse 15. God brought Esther into favor. Somebody say amen. At the end of the day, if you read Genesis chapter 41, verse 39, all the way to verse 44, it was not just Potiphar now that Joseph had favor with. It was not just the captain of the host. It was now the whole of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt. God gave him favor. In Acts chapter 7 and in verse 10, we saw the story and how the Bible said that God gave Joseph wisdom and favor. Am I communicating? I want to explain clearly what I mean. That all of a sudden God drops something on you, and what God drops on you makes you to be connected with a billionaire who does not know what to do with money. It just links you up with a billionaire who doesn't know what to do with money. That was how Potiphar was. He did not care what was in the control of Joseph. He didn't care. I mean, if you want, steal all of it. The Bible said it was only what he ate that he was concerned about. Everything was under the control of Joseph. Look at that in Genesis chapter 39, verse 4 and in verse 5. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer and over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So Joseph carried a blessing, and the blessing was also exploding the man's house, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not what he didn't know what he had. Did you see that? He knew not what he had. He can't count his money. They want to serve you water because of the heat. But you will have it at the end, so you don't distract me with the drinking. Praise the Lord. Did you see that in your Bible before? He knew not what he had. That is, there is a realm where you don't know your money. You don't know. Now, okay. God has given me many songs. They can be counted. But as at now, I don't know the number. Not that it's uncountable. I have not paid the attention now to say, okay, how many are there? Do you understand? So, he said, you have come to the point in your life where you don't know. Okay, you know that you have many bank accounts, but you don't know how much is inside. There are things you have, you don't know where they are. That was the kind of person that Potiphar was. He didn't know what he had. And this thing that he didn't know that he had, he committed it into a man's hand. Except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Sometime to come, we shall be talking about the mystery of supernatural wealth transfer. But this is where it starts. And later on now, it was not just a man who handed over his life and his wealth to Joseph. It was a nation. Okay, look at that from verse 43 of Genesis 41. Genesis 41 from verse 43. Alright, start from verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land. That is resource commander. Wealth controller over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without you shall no man lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. That is, the land is under your control. Somebody is coming to that realm. That amen is so paralyzed. You see, and God can easily do that because the earth is the Lord. There is no billionaire in the world who is the owner of his money. God owns everything in the universe. So he can link you up and connect you with anyone he deems fit to access that dimension of his money at that time. I announce to you today, seated here, and everyone connected anywhere around the world, God is about to connect you with his wealth. Whether with a person, or with a nation, or with an organization, he's about to connect you with his wealth. He's about to connect you with his resources. If you're a believer, shout the loudest, amen. And it is about to happen to somebody. When we preach about healing, healing happens. When we preach about deliverance, deliverance happens. When we preach about financial release, they happen massively. It is about to happen to somebody. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Look at your neighbor, say, God is about to give you opportunities for wealth control. For wealth command. Get ready. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Does this mean anything to anybody? You know that if I stopped here now, I have already over-preached today. And you know the massiveness of the wealth is very, very necessary. I'll be talking about that shortly. But what do you do to take advantage of divine opportunities for wealth control? What do we do to take advantage and to maximize opportunities for wealth control? Whether it is from the work of your hands or from any other avenue. But I'm going to be dwelling majorly on this last one. When God gives you a favor, opens a door before you and a nation. Opens a door between you. One man who is under the cover of this ministry sent me a message yesterday. He was moving from one country to another. One of the countries said, come and help us take care of the gold in this country and the lithium. From there to another, from there to another. That is whole nations surrendering their resources. He has two aircrafts. He has many aircraft, but out of them, two of them, if they pass through this place, they can tell what is on the ground, whether there is gold or lithium. Somebody say realm. And you are stepping there right now. Very soon we'll be talking about you like that. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. What? How do you do if you are a Joseph? You are going to be a David. And God is going to give you massive opportunities for wealth control. How do you step into it? How do you remain in it? How do you multiply it? Number one, uprightness. Financial integrity. That is opposed to financial crookedness. Uprightness. We just read about Joseph. The man didn't know what he had. He gave everything into the hand of Joseph and nothing was missing. Financial integrity, uprightness. There are some people, a big person, by divine connection, God connected to them. He tested them with only 1 million. He tested them with only 10 million. There are stories. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 23 to 25, we saw how Abraham was talking to the king of Sodom. I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lasher. And I will not take anything that is yours, in case you will say, I've made Abraham rich. I won't divert what is yours into mine. Integrity, financial integrity. You look at Jacob in Genesis 31, verse 38 to verse 39. Genesis 31, verse 38 to verse 39. These 20 years have I been with you. Your ewes and she-goats have not cast their young. And the rams of your flock have I not eaten. I didn't eat anything you didn't give me. I didn't eat your money. Anything that was torn by beasts, I didn't bring it to you. I bear the loss of it. I didn't come with stories to tell you that something was missing. That your business under my watch had losses. If there was a loss, I paid it from my pocket. Whether it was stolen by night or by day, I will never come to you and say, excuse me, sir. Thieves broke through and stole something. No, that was the level Jacob was. I can't tell you thieves came and stole things. I can't tell you, I am 419, dupe me on the road with your business money. No. You may only hear it after I have paid for it. From my pocket, I paid for it. That is why people that are God made are very scarce. Because people with this kind of testimony are scarce. There are too many stories. Brethren deal with brethren. People deal with someone higher than them. Too many stories. And I can tell you, my beloved brothers and sisters, God is in a hurry to show off. He wants to show off his wealth using his children. He wants to show off. He wants to show the world what he can do. The endless expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. God does not just want to manifest apostolic power or prophetic power. Or healing or deliverance power. He wants to manifest his prosperity power. He wants to manifest how much he can make a man. Until there is no man in his generation that is as made as him. Am I communicating? It's an abomination for unbelievers to be the richest people in our own time. It's an abomination. In the time of Abraham, nobody was richer than Abraham. But look at his testimony. I won't take what is yours. In the time of Isaac, nobody was richer than Isaac. In the time of Job, nobody was richer than Job, who was not a child of God. In those generations, none. But I believe that in our own generation, this end time generation, God will raise people like Abraham's. He will raise people like Isaac's. He will raise people like Solomon's. He will raise people like Job's. This man was a man of integrity called Job. He was the richest man in all the East. Beloved, financial uprightness, financial integrity will give you access to supernatural opportunity. Anything God has not given you, don't take it. If it is not yours, don't envy it. Uprightness. Number two is faithfulness. Faithfulness means trustworthiness, being trustable, being trustable. It's almost like integrity, they work hand in hand because you can be trusted if you have integrity. Faithfulness means trustworthiness, truthfulness, truth. That is, nobody deals with you and regrets. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 20. He said, the faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Truthfulness, trustworthiness, reliability, dependability. Your yes is yes, your no is no. If you said it, you meant it. And since you meant it, you said it. This is very important. Because God watches your faithfulness to determine your blessing. A faithful man abounds with a blessing. Any blessing that is not undergirded with faithfulness has no future. It may be there today, but you can't determine it tomorrow. These things are very important. Look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 4. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. As much as he was faithful. He was reliable. He was trustworthy. He was truthful. You know what I mean? Let me tell you what I mean. I mean, someone comes to me and says, Pastor, give me somebody in your church. Somebody, a member of the church, that can oversee my business affairs in this location. And I don't know you, but I randomly walk to you. And I say, somebody is looking for somebody to oversee his business. I recommend you. And then you started work, and then 3 months later, 5 months later, 6 months later, 1 year later, the man returns to say, do you have more of this kind of people? That is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Do you have more of this kind of people? Do you have more of this kind of people? Even what I forgot, he will remind me. Money in his possession, I didn't remember. He will remind me. You know, one of our members here had a deal with somebody. They were trying to buy a land. And all the prices the man got was like, let me use something like 100 million. And this man said, I can get the land for 80 million. He said, really? The same kind of land? Yes. Now this man went and priced the land and got it for 60 million. So he told the man, though other people told you 100 million, and I had priced for 80 million. When I went, it was further reduced to 60. So you have a balance of 20 million. What? The man said, do such people exist? And don't misunderstand me. It is not a situation where take 60 million and buy me a land. Take 80 million, buy me a land. Whatever you buy it, whatever is the balance is your own. That's a different case, isn't it? That's a different case. I have 80 million to buy a land, and whatever you buy it, the balance is yours. That's a different case. Now, this is a direct dealing. And he refunded the man that balance. And the man said, I cannot take the balance. Let me just take 1 million or something from it. Take it back. I have already agreed with you on this. Do you understand? That is the kind of thing God is looking for. That is the kind of thing God is looking. You will be shocked. At the level, the way you would deal with billions, you will be shocked. He will connect people who have been looking for who to trust. He will just link them with you effortlessly. And the pipe that carries water cannot be wet. Cannot be dry. Do you understand? Somebody cannot give you his billions to oversee. And the least you will be is not a multimillionaire. It's not possible. You are not stealing it. But he himself is wetting you. God is a God of principles. And principles are superior to principalities. It doesn't matter the devil fighting you from your village.
It doesn't matter the ancestral curse you are dealing with. If you follow the principles, anybody who takes your name to a herbalist is the one that will die.
The reason why charm can work against some Christians and witchcraft and all of that is that they themselves are not following any principles. They have broken too many laws. Broken too many principles. So there is nothing that God can use to defend them. Nothing God can use. Someone say loud amen. I'm saying this from my heart, so that many of us can stop moving around the same cycles. So you can make a vow unto uprightness, a vow unto truthfulness, unto reliability, unto dependability, where somebody can deal with you and go to sleep. Potiphar went to sleep. A vow unto trustworthiness, unto truthfulness. Somebody was sitting in my front one day, and he gave a man resources in six zeros, in six figure, in forex. He was dealing with somebody that he knew through me. And I asked him, are you going to sign anything? He said, nothing. Do you require any accountability? He said, nothing. You are here and he is here. Nothing. And the man went. And even though he didn't request accountability from him, he gave him blow by blow accountability. Beloved, God is waiting for you. And you will not disappoint. Uprightness is number one. Number two is faithfulness. I like to show you something on faithfulness in Luke chapter 16 verse 10. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 to 12. Look at what he said. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, the one that taught me the most is verse 12. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If somebody say, help me to handle this, and you failed, who will trust you with anything? And if, who shall give you what is your own? He's talking about himself, Jesus, God. If only 1 naira, you messed up. 10,000, you messed up. 1 million, you failed. Which God do you want? Who are you asking to give you your resources, your own true riches? Which God do you want to ask? The God you are going to pray to is the one asking you this question. That God you want to pray to ask for intervention is the one asking you this question. If a man cannot trust you, which God are you expecting to trust you? If you cannot be trusted by man, why do you want to be entrusted things by God? I think you see. Why many Christians say, I go to church, I pay my tithe, I do this, I do that. And yet, unbelievers are richer. Unbelievers are following the principles of their own system. They are not bothering about heaven or hell or anything. They are just following the principles of their own system. And getting their own results in their own system. If we follow the principles of our own system, there is no unbeliever that can match us. If a brother in church can't trust you with little transaction, if your boss in the office can't trust you, if you got favor with a billionaire or a millionaire, and he cannot trust you,
and you fail, which God are you expecting to trust you with what? If you cannot handle another person's resources well, who told you you can get resources of your own? Because life is a seed. You will not fail. I said you will not fail. I see this word changing somebody's life, changing somebody's story, changing somebody's destiny. Don't forget this. Anything that tempers with your financial integrity tempers with your financial destiny. To toy with financial integrity is to toy with financial destiny. And to toy with faithfulness financially is to toy with a blessing. Just try it. Just try it. Become rigid. Become rugged. Become notoriously faithful like Daniel. Because everybody knew Daniel. And see what God will do with your life. So uprightness is one. Faithfulness is number two. Number three is diligence. Diligence means Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Let me define diligence like this. It is the full deployment of life's energy into life assignment. The full deployment of life's energy into life's assignment. That is, all the energy you've got. All the strength you have got. All the resources you have got. All of it is directed into what you call the assignment of your life. Genesis 31, 40 to 41. See the diligence of Jacob. Can you place the scripture? Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night. My sleep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and you have changed my wages 10 times. The frost in the night, the heat of the day. That was how Jacob labored in another man's labor. You see the reason why most civil servants retire and they don't amount to anything? Is it my father's work? Is it not government work? And they just give anything they want. And God said, life is a seed. Am I communicating? Do the work of your hand until the work knows that you are working. The work of your hands. Genesis chapter 26, verse 18 to 23. We saw the diligence of Isaac. Look at that. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which he had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the headsmen of Gerar, this tribe with Isaac's men, long story made short, they kept on weary, fighting Isaac, and Isaac kept on walking until he outwalked them. You know the way I walk now in ministry. I'm sure you are aware of my schedule right now. Tomorrow is healing and deliverance service. And then on Wednesday, we are there for midweek service. Thursday, we are in Bauchi. Friday, we are in Bauchi. Saturday, we are on our way. Sunday, we are in church. The following week, we have the women meeting on Monday, and then the week is revival week, and then worship and wonders night by Friday. The following week, we start the youth convention. And then the following week is children's convention. The third week is conference in the UK. And then the final week is International Ministers Training Fire Conference. And then there is another week after that. And then we are back in New York for crusade. How is it? It didn't start today. When I was that brief time I practiced medicine, I walked in one place in the morning, one place in the afternoon, one place in the night. When I finished the night one, I used the car to pick passengers while tonguing on the steering. I had invitations inside. That is invitations to preach. I wasn't a full-time pastor. Do you understand? You see, it is not possible to be diligent and not become eminent. It is not possible to, anywhere you find yourself, diligence will bring eminence. Diligence will bring prominence. Diligence will bring abundance. It's not possible. If a man is lazy, life can never be easy. It doesn't matter his field. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Diligence. God is going to transfer you wealth. See how what happened to Jacob in the house of Laban. God gave him wealth that he became bigger than Laban because of diligence. Diligence. There are so many people looking for easy, cheap way. I know of a man who has been waiting for millions for almost 8 years. Some big money that came from outside the country that they are trying to clear somewhere. If they call the money today, you'll be shocked. If they call the figure. They are not doing nothing anymore. It's not doing nothing. It's just pursuing. It's a big money coming. Waiting for the money. Some millions of euros, some billions of dollars. It has already been transferred. It's a CBN need to clear it. They wake up in the morning, no work. No pursuit. I told somebody, I said, I know you are waiting for very, very big contracts. But is it possible to do something that generates income daily? So you are never stranded at any point in your life. Do you know that ordinary bottled water is producing millions for people? I know millionaires in this world and in this church. Elim Water is a member of this church. If you have ever seen the bottled water. They started with pure water. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Now it is rolling out everywhere and just everywhere. I mean, so before you do the big contract, do something that, while you are expecting the big money, do the thing that brings the steady flow of income. You just think about it and see what brings income daily. 1 million a day is 30 million a month, isn't it? That is somebody's, that is 1 million is somebody's salary. All right? And that is, you are a millionaire every day for 30 months, for 30 days. I see God opening somebody's eyes, opening somebody's ears, opening somebody's understanding. And if you are that person, shout the loudest amen. If you are that person, shout the loudest amen. If you are that person, shout the loudest amen. The same story with stories of people who have crude oil to sell. And they are trying to connect buyers from Russia and Nigeria. They have been following this thing for 20 years. Have I told you a funny story before? I was a young medical doctor. Wait and hear this funny story. I was a young medical doctor. Salary was 1,200 and then became 2,400. I gathered money together until it became 10,000. You can imagine that amount. Then one man, it's very brief. Brief like this. Was also in our medical field. That is now doing business of stone, precious stone. If I gave him the money, I would be shocked at how much will return. So I gave him 10,000 naira. That particular 10,000. Everyday story. One day he brought me a stool and he said, this particular one is over 300,000. And I realized that what I gave him was 10,000. And this is over 300,000? Wow. Inside that thing he brought to me, I calculated car inside.
Everything in this world was inside that thing. Everything in this world was inside that thing. Story, story, story. One day, I went to pray. I was concerned. And the Lord said to me, if you don't forget that money. Oh my God. That was how I reluctantly, annoyingly, painfully decided to relax on that money. Next time I saw the guy was about 14 years later. I was already a pastor. And he arrived. Full of affliction. Loaded with hypertension. Loaded with diabetes. Everything was on him. Like one madman, one mad woman in our village in those days. Who used to say, every place is worrying me. I looked at him and said, what is that? How are you? He said, in fact, life has dealt with him. Why will life not deal with you? After you have dealt with people, life must deal with you. No, we didn't pray against him. We didn't know no punishment. Am I communicating at all? So there are people with those kind of stories. I think God made us experience a little of this kind of thing at the beginning so that we can be positioned to talk to people. And I have a very, very industrious mind. I grew in the house of a major big-time trader, luxury bus owner, and all of that. So, grew up knowing enterprise. Am I communicating? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Don't be looking for what is not there. Settle with what you can find. Take your seat. Don't be looking for what is not there. Settle with what you can find. Now. And give it all you have got. Give it all you have got. Settle with what you can find. And give it all you have got. Diligence. That is why people who are not diligent, they don't want to work hard, end in fraud, end in crime, end being duped. Diligence. Number four is excellence. Excellence means being the best in your field. I'm going to rush at the rest because of time. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Being the best in your field. Joseph was the best. David was the best. You look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17 to 19. 1 Samuel 16, 17 to 19. David was the best. Daniel was the best. Daniel chapter 6. We read it from verse 1 to verse 4. Excellence. Give your task the best you have got. I have so many services I preach per time, but I refuse to walk carelessly into anyone. Give your task the very best you have got. That is excellence. Do it well. Do it better than average. Far better than average. Number five is divine presence. Confront your assignment with the anointing. Divine presence. Divine presence. Don't carry a head without oil. Divine presence. Joseph had it. Genesis 39 verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph. David had it. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 14. The Bible said David behaved himself wisely and in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Joseph had it. David had it. Divine presence. Abraham had it. Genesis 17 and in verse 1. God spoke to Abraham. He said, walk before me and be perfect. Genesis 17 verse 1. Jacob had it. Genesis 35 verse 5.
And as they journeyed, the terror of the Lord was upon the cities that were round about. And they could not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Jacob had it. Divine presence. Divine presence will do two things for you. First, it will open doors. And second, it will break yokes. Because divine presence is the same as the anointing. It will open the doors, it will break your yokes. This is what I mean. You are a businessman, but the first impression people got when they met you was as if you are a pastor. You carry an aura. You carry a personality. There is something sealable about you. Am I communicating? I want you to come to that realm where somebody can see you and feel God. Where somebody can hear you and hear God. There is such a grace in your voice. There is such a peace in your voice. There is such an anointing in your climate. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here at all. Adopt yourself a routine as if you are a pastor. What do I mean by that? I must pray 1 hour every day before I go to for my business. 1 hour, 1.5 hours. I must study 3 or 4 chapters per day. I will saturate my office and my car with worship. I will listen to audio tape messages, preach messages. I will fast once or twice every week. One, for my personal life. Second day in the week, for the business and my assignment. And you have such a routine of spirituality around your assignment. So that when you step into the business field, those who consulted native doctors before they came to face you can't stand you. Or you don't know, there are millionaires and billionaires who consult different altars. In our own place here, they consult local altars. Native doctor. Shrine. In Oyibo place, they consult sophisticated altars. Eastern religion altar, all manner of altars, Freemason, all of them. They consult different altars. Alright? The higher they go, the deeper they get. The deeper they get. One of the billionaires in this world, you know him. Somebody told him, he said, why don't you repent and give your life to Christ and go to heaven? He said he doesn't want to go to heaven. He said he prefers to go to hell. Because it looks like most people are going to hell. So hell will be fun. That is a notable world billionaire that may have up to 45 to 50 million people following him on Instagram or following him on this or that. Or Twitter or anything. That's what he said. That is to show you the realm from where those are talking. There are some who already sold their souls to Satan. They are in covenant with their agreement with hell. They know they are going to hell and they are okay. That's the agreement that is the basis why they are where they are. And you are dealing with them. You want to occupy the same business space with them. Without the fruit of the Spirit, without the gifts of the Spirit. You didn't pray in the morning. You prayed upside down. You didn't study the word. You can't speak in tongues. Do your assignment as if you are in ministry. Did you hear what I just said? As if you are in ministry. Do it like you have a calling. Carry out your... One day, I sat in a man's office in Lagos. He asked me to pass. And I came. And I saw prayer going on like fire. I said, what's going on? He said, that they have a prayer altar and they pray like this with fire every day. I sat down on his chair and I began to prophesy according as I received of the Lord. He said, where you sat now, God's servant Bishop Oyedepo sat there about a week or 2 weeks ago and said the same thing word for word. What you just said. As at that time, that man was making sales of up to 150 to 200 million a day.
a day. I think it increased beyond that. If it is today, it will be billions a day. Because what he was selling at that time, the cost of it could be like 10 million for one, and he can sell 100 a day. He can sell 200 a day. 250. And the same things now, the cost is about 45, 50 million for one now. Am I communicating? That is running your life with the mentality that you are not just in the secular world. Once you belong to the kingdom, you must confront your assignment with kingdom spirituality. Carry divine presence. Let people feel God around you. Let them sense God in you. You don't need to talk before they know where you are coming from. They said the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. Let people see you and they should be able to ask the question. Are you a pastor? Do you know so and so person? And you say, yes, he's my pastor. It's okay. I sense his presence all around you. I sense something about him around you. I see somebody getting there today. That was how the Bible people made it. That was how the Bible millionaires and billionaires made it. And you are making it. Finally, is covenant practice. If you maintain uprightness and faithfulness and diligence and divine presence, and you maintain covenant practice, no devil stops you. Covenant practice of giving and tithing. Listen, what is in your heart is what determines God, what God will put in your hands. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Genesis 14, 18. Abraham, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And then at the end, he gave him the tithe of all. The tithe of all. Look at Jacob. I want you to see what Jacob did in Genesis 20, verse 20. Genesis 28, verse 20. Genesis 28 and in verse 20. Look at what it said. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, if you will sustain me, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That was the covenant of the tithe. Give me bread to eat. Give me cloth to wear. You won't need to beg me to pay my tithe. And like you know, there are those who exceeded the tithe by far. They exceeded the tithe by far. David, he was not tithing. He was massively giving. Psalm 122 and in verse 9 in the NIV, he said, for the sake of your house, I will seek your prosperity. Psalm 132, verse 1 to 5. Psalm 132, verse 1 to 5. For the sake of Psalm 132, verse 1 to 5, the Bible said, blessed is the man. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Coming to the point in your life where you want to conquer money and use the money to persecute the devil. I want some of us to carry that mentality. Do you know that when we went to America, just now we came back, I finished in Pittsburgh in the night. The people were so hungry, if you saw them, I didn't feel like leaving them. I was praying for them, laying hands on them. Deliverances were happening, deaf ears opening, all manner of things were happening. I had to quickly rush from there. rush to a nearby hotel with my wife, refresh because I couldn't fly into the aircraft in sweat like that overnight. And then by the time we reached the airport and we're about to fly, it was already 1 a.m. Saturday morning America. That is 7 a.m. Saturday in Nigeria. And you are coming to preach on Sunday. There is no airport you are going to go by 1 a.m. And you say, can I find flight to Nigeria? Okay, if it is Lufthansa, you are going to Germany and then do an stopover and then come. By the time I reach Abuja, it will be Sunday evening or Monday morning. All right? If it is Emirates, anyone. I told the pastor of the church, I said, if you want me to preach on Saturday night, it will be very, very difficult. He said, anything it will cost you to come, please do. Anything. Want to rent a private, anything. When I saw the hunger in the man, I said, we'll do anything. That was how we went there. Private. I returned private. That was the only way I could be in church on Sunday. He gave massively to cover the expenses. But he couldn't cover it. What they gave to me to say cover the expenses all went in to cover it. For the crusade trip. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What if there is somebody sitting there and say, Lord, now, while I was there, one of the young men, member of this church, boy in the house that we brought up literally, prayerfully and otherwise, I want to read piloting and I want to study in America. All right, go. I have some money, but money is not complete. We assisted and he went and became a pilot in America and then got... he became a pilot with American Airlines, right? As I reached there, I said, I'm about to be interviewed by Delta. And I'm excited because that will be bringing me to Nigeria. He was in the conference. I laid hands on him and said, go and be successful. He went there and they took him on the spot to fly Airbus. There are some Airbuses that can take everybody in this room. Young boy, to fly Airbus. Atlanta to Lagos, 12 hours. Atlanta to Abuja. And he's so excited. And then flying around the world. And I told myself, this kind of person can fly. Somebody among you here can say, Lord, I need to buy an Airbus for evangelism. That will carry evangelism department, carry prayer band, carry choir, carry counselors. Select group to go to India, to go to Asia, to go there when there is a crusade. And then the person to fly it is already available. This is kingdom. I want to buy a cargo aircraft. That will, because crusade equipment are so costly in most of the places of the world. The cost of some crusade equipment will amaze you. There are places we pay as high as $40,000 to rent. $10,000 is $8 million now. $50,000, some almost $100,000, just to rent crusade equipment in some locations. Rent for 2 days. If we have a cargo aircraft, the equipment remains permanently in the aircraft for the next trip. And then you have 4 or 5 different equipments in different locations. That is what resources is needed. There are many people who have some of these things for nothing. For nothing. They have it for no purpose. Nobody is changed. No life is touched. No sinner is delivered. That is why the church must be empowered. Not for materialism, but for generational impact. Stand up on your feet.
Not for materialism. Not for the purpose of, we have this, I have that. Am I communicating? But to go into the hinter parts of the world, chase the devil back to hell. That is why you must have the money. For those who cannot go, the money will go. And for some of us, both the money and yourself and your prayer will go. To change lives in your family, in your community, you must have the resources. To deliver you from distractions of lack, house rent, this, that. You will not miss the opportunity. You know, as I talk now, I'm seeing multi-millionaires. I'm seeing billionaires. There are some here. There are some watching me online right now. That is satellite, the internet. You are watching me right now. You are watching me right now via the satellite, via the internet, and God is changing your story, 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 and God is changing your story. How many of you are making a determination? You are making a determination. And you are saying, Lord, I am available. You are looking for somebody to use in the financial realm. I am available. And my dear brothers and sisters, the best place to start is where you are. Don't wait until you get all the billions or millions from where you are. From where you are. From where you are. Lord, this is where I am. There are some who say, one day I will buy an aircraft for the church or for the ministry, or I'll buy this or I'll buy that. Before that one day comes, there is something that can be done this day, from whatever I see, whatever God has laid in your hands. It is what you do with what is in your hands now that determine what God can do with you in time to come. Somebody say a loud amen. Amen. Lift up your hands and appreciate God, and then we'll pray some prayers, and then we are through tonight. Lift your hands and appreciate God. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we honor you. Father, we worship you. Father, we adore you. Father, we glorify you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Be glorified, be honored. In the name of Jesus. Lift your two hands and say after me, say, Father, I come before you today. In the name of Jesus. To appreciate you for your faithfulness to my life. I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
For uprightness.
For uprightness.
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 In financial matters.
Uprightness.
Uprightness. In all the matters. Bordering my life.
I receive the grace.
Oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and ask God, Lord, I ask for mercy where I failed. Where I failed in uprightness, in integrity, in financial matters, I ask for mercy. Forgive me. Open your mouth and say, Lord, I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. Where I failed in uprightness. Let us separate. Let us separate. Let us separate. In Jesus' precious name. Number two, Father, I receive a baptism of faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Bible says, talked about
he that is of a faithful spirit. A faithful spirit. To be reliable, to be dependable, to be trustworthy. I receive it. Say, Father,
I ask
for the baptism of faithfulness. A faithful spirit. I receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus. Number three, Lord, give me a baptism of diligence. Deliver me from laziness, from weakness. A baptism of diligence. Lift your voice and say, Father,
I receive
the baptism of diligence. Now, open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' precious name. Number four, Father, I ask for the baptism of the spirit of excellence like Daniel. The baptism of the spirit of excellence like Daniel. Lift your hands on your vest and say, Father,
I receive
the baptism
of the spirit
of excellence like Daniel. I receive it now. Open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus.
How many of you need divine presence? You want God to be felt in your life? Lift up your two hands.
My song every day, Father, draw me nearer. Draw me
my song every day,
my song
every day. Father,
draw me nearer. Oh Lord,
draw
me nearer. Draw to me.
My song every day,
my song
every day. Father,
draw me nearer.
Two more times.
My song every day,
my song
every day.
Father,
draw me nearer.
Oh Lord,
one more time.
My song every day,
my song.
My song every day. Father, draw me nearer.
Oh Lord, draw me nearer.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are and say, Father,
I need a baptism of your presence. Today, I receive the baptism of your presence. No! Open your mouth and speak to God. The baptism of your presence. In the name of Jesus. Finally, faithfulness in covenant practice. Faithfulness in tithing, in giving, and in massive impact for the kingdom. I receive it. Lift your voice and say, Father, I receive faithfulness in the practice of the covenant, in tithing, in giving, in living for the kingdom. I receive faithfulness now. Open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Now stretch your two hands in front of you. If you need anything you want to settle with God, based on what I've preached, step forward on this altar here and say, Lord, I just want to make it new with you. I want you to give me another chance to do the right thing. Have mercy on me where I failed or erred. And you don't have to wait for who will come out first. That is when repentance is genuine. When you will be able to come out if it's just only you. Please pick your Bibles and your bags to avoid any Judas Iscariot operating here. Just go on your knees. I need a new beginning. I need a change of heart, a change of story. I've not done things the way I should have done them. And I need mercy from God. Maybe it's your covenant practice that is faulty. Maybe it's in the area of character, integrity, or faithfulness, or reliability. Whatever. I need mercy. Most messages that does not lead to change of heart just becomes entertainment. The aim of any insight is change. And the proof of change is progress. The aim of light is change. And the proof of change is progress. When light comes, somebody changes their mind. Something changes in somebody. And when that change happens, progress happens. Step forward here.
I live for Jesus. Day after day.
If you are still coming, step forward.
Let come work me. The Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus. Day after day. I live for Jesus. Day after day. I live for Jesus. Let come what may.
Let come what may. I will obey. Oh, day after day.
Sing it one more time. I live for Jesus.
Day after day.
Let come what may. the Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus. Day after day.
Anywhere you are, watching from all around the world, and you are making a decision, let us know. And those who have made this, those in the frontier, place your hand on your chest and say, Lord Jesus, I ask for mercy. Give me another chance to do the right thing. Forgive me my error, my fault, my failure, my weakness. Help me, Lord, to do it right. From this moment forward, not to fail another time. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray for you today. I declare help from above, mercy from above, and grace from above. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.